We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, When Adversity Escalates, and uncovers how trusting in God's promises and His personal relationship with you can transform your response to life's toughest seasons. Now, here's today's program.
I don't really know this Joseph guy, and I don't care about Israel. All I know is that they're big and that they're mighty, and I'm a little bit paranoid because they don't have Egyptian nationalism, and if we don't do something to get rid of them and to make it hard for them, if somebody ever turned on us, they'd join forces against us. We can't do this. So here's the plan. Let's make it extremely difficult for them. And so they forced him to work. Not like any kind of work, like slave work, like 24/7, 365. No days off, no vacation time, no PTO. All day long, what are you doing? You're working in the field, you're gleaning straw to make bricks, or you're making bricks, or you're building buildings, all for the sake of making Egypt grow. Seemingly, nobody cares for you and the nation of Israel. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that you're following the Lord, and as you're following the Lord, because you're following the Lord, it gets harder for you? You're following the Lord, and now in the workplace, because you're outspoken about your relationship with Christ and who you are, things have become more difficult for you. Or in school, they're more difficult for you. Or in your family, it's more difficult for you. And you feel as if you're all alone. And because of your relationship with Christ, there's a heavy weight placed on you. That's exactly what was going on here. I mean, Israel was doing the things that God wanted them to do, and instead of getting easier, it got harder. Friends, let me just tell you this. Some people preach a gospel that says, if you trust in Jesus, everything in your life will get better, and it will get better immediately, and it will never, ever be worse. It's just not biblical. It sounds really good. I mean, the reality is, when you trust Christ, you will go through hardships. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Sometimes it's because of what we're doing that we're a target of the enemy. Sometimes it's because we're walking with the Lord that things become more difficult. And during those times, you need to trust in God's purposes for all your circumstances. Know this about your circumstances. Think about the ones you're in now, or you've been in, or you're going into, and you think to yourself, this is so bad. This isn't helping me. This isn't helping the kingdom. This is hard. How come my life's not flourishing? Let me tell you this. God is sovereign and intentional with all your circumstances, especially your difficult ones. God is using what you're doing now, not only to be a blessing to you and bring you out, but to be a blessing to others in the process. Especially when you feel alone, when you feel mistreated, when you feel that nobody cares, when you feel that you're between that infamous rock and a hard place, and you love the Lord and you're doing things for the Lord, and guess what? It's hard. You know? It's difficult. Like, I'm doing what you asked me to do, but my circumstances aren't happening the way I saw them unfolding. Here was the plan I thought you were taking me to. Now you're taking me here. What's up with that? This is not fun. I don't enjoy this anymore. I thought serving you, God, was going to be bliss, and it's really, really, really difficult. When that happens, keep this in mind. God has a purpose for why it's really, really difficult. There's things he wants to teach you, and there's character that he wants to grow, not only to bless you, but for you to be a blessing to other people. Anybody that's been used mightily in the kingdom of God has gone through significant pain and hardship. I've heard other pastors say, if God wants to use you, he's got to bruise you. I mean, and it's true. God uses sometimes intentional pain in your life to bring about the good he wants to bring about. And God's always faithful to his promise. I mean, we read Genesis and he told Abraham, you're going to be a father of a great nation. And you might say, well, what's going on with all this slavery? God prophesied it. As he was confirming the covenant with Abram in Genesis 15, verse 13, God said to Abram as he was making the covenant with him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. So what did God tell Abram when he was making the covenant? He said, you're going to be a great nation, but before that happens, your people are going to be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. If God said they were going to be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years, what do you think was going to happen? They were going to be slaves in a land for 400 years. But, he says, I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. God is saying that won't be the end of their story. Whatever you're going through now, that's not the end of your story. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes what we would prefer is, I just prefer a rewind switch. Take me back to that fork in the road and I'll go that way. And God's like, no. I got you right here. Even whether you wanted to go that way, didn't want to go that way. And I got you hemmed in right now. And this is my design for your life. Will you look to me right now? And if you do, I'm going to build character in you and I'm going to use your life, or I'm going to use this group of people to bless others. That's exactly what he did with Israel. The reason we read about the story of Exodus is because they didn't die in slavery. God's faithful to his promise. And when he delivers them, and we'll see him deliver them, he does it miraculously. And we love that part of the story. But this is the hard part of the story. In order to be delivered miraculously, you have to be desperate. And sometimes we don't like to be desperate. Sometimes we want deliverance, and we want deliverance now. Lord, I've been in a bad marriage for 2 weeks. Fix it. God, I've been praying for kids for 2 years. Fix it. God, I've been doing... And we say, well, that's been long enough. And God's like, oh, it's going to be a little longer. I got something else I'm trying to teach you. And just when you think you've had more than enough, God's like, no, you haven't had enough yet. But God always does what he does because of his love for you. And because he's building something special, and you're part of a bigger whole that God is using. Amen? Now, here's a scripture that we like to quote for other people, but we don't like when people quote it to us. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We often quote it at funerals. We often quote it when people lose a loved one. We often quote it when there's heartache in someone's life. And we hear this, and it's true. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. If you love God and you're following his calling, he's going to use all things to work together for his purpose. That's true. When you're in pain and people quote that to you, we think, well, that's easy for you to say. You're not in pain. But it's a reality that when we're going through times of desperation, we can be certain it's temporary and God is using these things to build us. Think about Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult. That means we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Then when God takes you through things and you're rejoicing in your adversity, and you're not necessarily celebrating the circumstances, but you're celebrating God in the middle of those circumstances, God's growing your character and he's growing your perseverance and he's growing your hope. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says it this way in James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God takes us through circumstances in our lives that we would never have chosen for ourselves on purpose, so that we can learn to worship him when it's difficult, so we can be in relationship with him when it's difficult, because it's in the times of difficulty when we continue to worship him and honor him and serve him that he's building something special in us, so that when we come out on the other side, we're stronger, and so that when we do, we're a blessing to others. And that's the Bible. That's what God teaches throughout the entirety of Scripture. So when adversity escalates, when it mounts up, when it's overwhelming, trust in God's purposes for all your circumstances. You might pray something like this: Lord, I don't see how in the world this is ever going to be helpful to me or anybody else, but because you're sovereign and intentional, I'm going to believe that it is, and I rejoice in you this day, because this is the day you have made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it, and I love you. But I'm feeling desperate, and this is really, really hard, and I don't see an end to any of this stuff in sight. But I'm going to place my trust in you, and I'll continue to worship you. And isn't it true when we read stories in the Bible that God uses these challenges to build our character, and that when we see them played out in the lives of other people, we're like, that was so important in that person's story. I mean, how about Noah? Noah preached in a generation for 120 years, and the only people that got saved were his family. Eight people got saved. Nobody he preached to got saved.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing the message, When Adversity Escalates, from the series Exodus, uncovering how trusting in God's promises and his personal relationship with you can transform your response to life's toughest seasons. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Noah preached in a generation for 120 years, and the only people that got saved were his family. Eight people got saved. Nobody he preached to got saved, right? But what did God do? God had him build an ark in that generation. God had him do all those different things because it was through that that God was building the character of Noah for the call in his life. Or how about David? If there was no Goliath, you wouldn't even know about David. If there was no King Saul, you wouldn't even know about David. David had to stand up to a giant. David had to submit to King Saul, even though King Saul was a wicked king. But he was still God's anointed. So David, for about 14 years, was on the run, writing some of the best psalms that we have in our Bible about worship during difficult times. It's that that made David the leader God wanted him to be. It's the difficult times in your life, the seasons you look back on, and the older you get, there's more of those seasons, and you look back and say, wouldn't want to relive that, wouldn't want to do that again, keep me away from that. But if you study that, those are sometimes and oftentimes the circumstances that God has used in your life the most effectively to grow your maturity and love for him. And it's interesting to me, because when I read the story, I mean, Israel at the time probably had about 2 million people or so that we're gonna see. Egypt may have been bigger, but the perception from Egypt is they're bigger and they're mightier than us. And isn't that the way the devil fears the work of the Lord? The devil always wants you to feel like you're alone. The devil always wants you to feel like you're a minority. But I got news for you today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're a believer, you're on the winning side with more people than if you're on the losing team. You remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha went out when he was surrounded by all the armies and his servant was terrified and said, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, well, those that are with us are greater than those that are with them. And the servant starts looking around like, what are you talking about? And Elisha prayed, said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And boom, spiritually, his eyes were open and there were chariots of fire and horses surrounding the whole area. And then the servant was like, okay, feel pretty good. Here's what you can know. You're never alone. Some of you today feel like you're alone. Nobody understands you. Nobody's with you. Nobody's going to see you. God sees you. God knows what you're going through. God loves you. And there are more with you than are against you. And if God is for you, friends, who could ever be against you? Amen. So when you're going through these circumstances, the ones that we go through, that when we enter into that season and when we're going through the season, we're like, this is awful. Praise him because he's building something in you that's greater than could have ever been built if you weren't going through it. And God's sovereign. He's not haphazard. It's not accidental. He's using it for his glory. And if you'll endure under it, he will bear fruit from it. Amen. Then he gives us this third one. When adversity escalates, When adversity escalates, trust in God's protection when you're uncompromising in your loyalty to him. When you're uncompromising in your loyalty to him, trust God's protection. So notice what Egypt does. Egypt decides, we're going to work them to death. We're going to kill them off. We're going to use them for slave labor to build us storage houses and cities and all these things. But if they die, they die, and that's okay. We're just going to work them to death. They won't even have time to come against us. But what happened was, it says in verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The more the enemy opposes Jesus Christ and his church, the more the church spreads. Just know that. I'm not saying you pray for persecution. Don't pray for persecution. Just pray to be faithful. Persecution will come. But the more faithful you are under persecution, there's never been in the history of the church or in the kingdom of God, even in the Old Testament, where the church or the kingdom of God has been persecuted when faithful people stand up where the kingdom hasn't expanded. It always expands under persecution. And that's what's going on here. And when it does, a reminder is when you're in that trial, when you're experiencing that adversity and it's mounting up, trust in God's protection in your uncompromising loyalty to him. Don't ever take a shortcut. Because notice what they begin to offer. It says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other one was named Puah. Now, it highlights these two women. Certainly, they weren't the two midwives for the 2 million people. Possibly, they were the leaders of the midwives for all the Hebrew women. But these two are named here, and you're going to see why they were named, because God wants us to draw attention to their character and what they did. And the king comes to them, and in verse 16, he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it's a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. So here's the command. The government says, kill all your baby boys when they're born. Girls live, boys die. That's the edict of the king. So what are they going to do? I mean, if they don't do what the king says, they're facing some massive consequences. But notice this Shiprah and Puah and how they respond. But the midwives feared God. That's your answer right there. Always fear God more than you fear man. Let me say it again. Always fear God more than you fear man. The fear of man can prove to be a snare. In every situation, especially as adversity mounts and the pressure's on, it's easier to fear other people because we start trying to finagle our circumstances to get through it. And we're like, okay, well, I can help that person. Maybe this person will scratch my back. Never, ever, never, ever compromise on God's standards ever. If God says you shall not kill, then don't kill. All right, so these women feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. Praise God. That was their choice. Now check it out. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? Now their answer is pretty interesting. Listen to what they say. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife can get to them. I mean, here's their answer. Our Hebrew gals, not like your Egyptian gals. I mean, one labor pain, two pushes, there's the baby. We can't make it in time. I mean, our women are strong women. I mean, that's their answer. It doesn't sound like the truth to me. The truth sounds something like, we're not going to kill baby boys, and we're going to let people know, don't call us or call us if it's really needed, but hide the boys. Keep them alive. Here's been the edict. We're not paying attention, so don't call on us. Have the baby before we get there and hide it so we can tell the king. I mean, there's some sort of plan going on behind the scenes. Clearly, this is not what exactly happened. They just feared God, and they believed that the life of a human being was more important than a king's edict. Amen? Let me just say this about children. According to the Bible, children are a blessing and not a burden. Did you know that? Because I find sometimes even in church, if you have more than like two kids, people will joke with you. Do you realize how that happened, brother? You should have all the kids you want to have. Do you know why? Because you know what the first command in the Bible is? Be fruitful and multiply. Because God knows when a family is together and a husband and wife can raise a kid in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord, God's kingdom expands. Why do you think in every single generation, before God's going to do something great, like raise up a deliverer in Moses to deliver the people, or raise up Jesus Christ who's coming, that some king somewhere issues an edict to kill all the infants? Why is infanticide always on the rise before God does something big? Because Satan knows that children are a blessing. They're a blessing. Now, as we were praying as a staff this week, I felt compelled to do this. It's a little different than what we would normally do, but I believe God is the one who opens wombs. That doesn't mean don't go see a doctor. That doesn't mean learn about different treatments. And that's great. Do that. But God is the one who ultimately opens wombs. And I know there are some in our church who are saying, we are dying to get pregnant. We cannot get pregnant. There's others of you who are pregnant with your child and you're praying, hey, let mom be healthy. Let the baby be healthy. Can we just offer prayers for that this morning? If that's you, if you're pregnant this morning as a family or you're trying to get pregnant as a family, would you just stand so we can pray over you? Because I believe God wants to do something here this morning that's special. Don't be embarrassed. We're for your kids. Amen. Amen. We're for that. Now, God may have a way that's different than what we pray, but let's trust it to the Lord. So, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to bless families that are praying for babies that they can raise in a godly way and use to grow up in your kingdom, to advance your kingdom in all righteousness. And Father, we believe that you're the one that opens up wombs. So we pray that you would do something miraculous this morning for those who are standing on both of our campuses and watching online. Lord, we just ask for you to move mightily and to do what only you can do. And Lord, when that happens, pray that these people will give you praise. Lord, we'll praise you as a church for bringing in more and more babies that we can raise in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve you and to advance your kingdom in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. We've got give God some praise for that. So here's what she says. And you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says, hey, lying is good. When you're in trouble, lie. But sometimes you're caught between a rock and a hard place. What are they going to do? They're either going to kill babies or they're going to do something to keep them alive. Right? God honors loyalty to him. God honors life more than obeying a government that takes away life. You can't just say, well, so-and-so said it and they had authority over me. Every single time that you take a step and are uncompromising in your loyalty to Christ, your love for Jesus will grow and your steadfastness in him will get greater. I remember at the age of 24, I went into the ministry full time. Now, prior to that, I'd helped out with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and some other ministries and liked doing different things. And that wasn't all that big of a deal. But sitting down and telling my friends, yeah, I'm no longer going this way. I'm doing this. I'm going to go into the ministry. And to have to talk to some of my friends and explain to them what Christ had done in my life and how he was changing me. Some of those conversations were difficult. Some didn't really end friendships. It just changed the way in which we related because certain people didn't understand what I was doing and thought I was wasting my life. I remember being a youth pastor when we took our first missions trip and we were in London, England. We were doing dramas on the street and we were standing up to preach. And I remember the first time I stood up to preach and here I am outside as a street preacher, first time I'd ever done that. And it was hostile. How many know the F word in Britain means the same as it does in English? You know what I mean? people saying these things, but there was something about it that as I was standing there telling those same people, no, you don't understand, the God you're talking about died for you and he loves you. And I could feel this boldness coming in. Way easier to preach here than in the streets, just so you know. Street preaching's awesome. I see those guys at the Broncos game, I'm always giving them high fives. I just wish they spoke louder instead of just holding a Jesus save sign. Tell them, right? Going to seminary, my boldness grew. I can tell you in 2020, when 14 days to slow the spread happened and churches shut down and we're all trying to figure out what is this COVID-19 thing and mean and where do we stand? And now we're 2 years later and we're saying, what does this COVID-19 thing mean and where do we stand? And I know we all have different opinions about all that stuff, but one question I continued to ask the Lord was, Lord, what do you want us to do? And what do you want me to do? And as a church, what do we say? Because our governing officials were saying, you can't have more than 10 people in your building. You can't. Says who? Says me. I'm the governor. You can't do it. Well, as I began to pray and I began to see things in the scripture, I began to see that the church was the most important institution on the planet. And I also began to see that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus Christ told us to go make disciples. He told us to gather and not forsake that. He told us to teach the word and to baptize and to send people out. And I got to a place where I said before the Lord, I can no longer keep our doors shut.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, When Adversity Escalates, from the series Exodus, uncovering how trusting in God's promises and his personal relationship with you can transform your response to life's toughest seasons. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go,
we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.